Once again, good morning, church, and we're privileged this morning to have Bridget, my wife, the beautiful wife of my youth, and she will be ministering this morning. And so, Lord, we just come before you right now. We bring Bridget to you.
Thank you.
We ask, Lord, that Holy Spirit, that you would instruct her, you would release her, and Father God, that the words that she speaks would be life to us.
Thank you.
Ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
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 Thanks, Lovey. Okay, so good morning, everybody. This is exciting, and I first want to just thank the team that you can't see, but I can see. Jess and Michelle and Richard, thank you so much for the worship that just led us into this wonderful time to celebrate moms. And I also want to thank Mark and the elders, because it's always a great privilege to bring the Mother's Day message. And it's all about moms today. So, happy Mother's Day to all the women today, every one of you. To those who have reproduced something wonderful in another human being. And I always say you don't need to be a biological mum to be celebrated on Mother's Day. You just have to have stirred that maternal, God-given, God-instructed heart to love others. So here's to the hands that rock the cradle, the temper, the fevers that soothe the cries and savor the smiles. Here's to the one who wipes runny noses and cleans grubby bottoms, to the one who launders and cleans and endlessly picks up so little people can destroy again, to those glorious hips and mushy lips that carry and kiss the world better, to the ones who live selflessly when no one is watching,
yeah,
and find pleasure in just being, to all moms, past, present, and future, we salute you. I pray joy, rest, and peace over you all. I have great gratitude and admiration for you today. You deserve all the applause. So I've heard that breakfasts and orchids and walks and dinners and biltong are all blessing moms today. Well done to all the sons and daughters. Proverbs 31:28-29 says, her children respect and bless her. Her husband joins in with words of praise. Many women have done wonderful things, but you've outclassed them all. Put yourselves this morning in that category, in those brackets of parentheses. So the title this morning is God Sees. Now, I've often wondered, as I'm sure you may have, why some of the people have made it into the Bible. Not everyone would we want to dash to Starbucks to have coffee with, right? But because Scripture is God-breathed and His Word is living and active, we must look at the complex personalities and deeds of the people that the Lord deliberately put into His Word to encourage us, to warn us, to show us His mighty hand in deliverance, and to glean from. So the picture I'm hoping to paint for us this morning is to look at what sort of mom we are or would like to be, by looking at other mothers in the Word as we bring up the children our Father has entrusted us with or are hoping to influence for Jesus to use in His kingdom. So firstly, I'm going to be talking about Hannah, Samuel's mom, who was childless, and God had closed her womb. How about that? She turned into, in some eyes, a bit of a helicopter mom. But she'd prayed continuously for a son, which was a status in the community, through great personal attack. Her rival, her husband's wife, second wife, who had no problem conceiving, continuously poked fun at her barrenness. Even Eli the priest, when he saw her distress and her lips moving, he accused her of being drunk. But she told him that she'd been praying for a child, and if the Lord considered her, she would dedicate the child to the Lord, which she did when she produced Samuel, whose name means heard by God. So the first lessons we learn is prayer, perseverance, and patience.
Good.
Prayer is our weapon of choice, girls, okay? And perseverance is a character all mothers need in abundance. And patience, the fruit of the Spirit that means total reliance on God's perfect timing. Mm. Giving up is not an option, okay? Now, the second mom I want to talk about is Bathsheba. Yeah, I know. You're all saying, oh, that woman, okay? But apart from allowing herself to be seduced by the king, no excuses, but she did succumb to flattery, probably because of loneliness. She loved David, and she remained faithful and loyal to him. So after the death of her first child, she gave birth to others, but the most well-known, their next son, Solomon, was loved by God and grew up to become one of Israel's great kings. So from David's line, it would come to Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And Bathsheba would have the distinguished honor of being one of the five women listed in our Messiah's genealogy. That's seen in Matthew 1 verse 6. So despite her sins, listen up, despite her sins and the consequences thereof, we see that God still has a plan, no matter how much we feel we've messed up or failed, or if a child has gone astray, has friends that we're not too keen on, and all that kind of stuff, and with the wrong crowd, God can restore.
Amen.
Moms, God is a God of second chances. When we think we failed or have never been a good enough mother, God says, no, let me teach you how to be the best mom that you can ever be. It's never, ever too late.
That's good.
So now we come to Sarah. I'm going to have fun with Sarah. Okay. She's a woman who endured, a woman with a somewhat cynical sense of humor, we read. She even laughed at the idea that God could do what he promised. Now, this I'm going to repeat twice. I know it before I even say it. But thankfully, God's promise did not rely on the level of Sarah's faith.
Amen. That's good.
God's promise does not rely on the level of our faith. His word does not return to him void. So God fulfilled his promise according to his plan. And Sarah responded in Genesis 21, 6 to 7. She says, God has brought me laughter. And everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. Who would have thought that said to Abram that Sarah would nurse children, yet I have borne him a son in his old age. So Sarah was a woman who supported the seeming craziness of her husband's obedience to God. Neither of them really fully yet knew who he was, but we know that Abram was obedient. She was a childless woman who was productive in her dotage. I'm saying that to my era, okay? Not that they're going to be children or anything, but she was blessed with not just a supernatural pregnancy, but a God-given energy, I imagine, to bring up a son who was a toddler, just like ours, and a young, boisterous boy who displayed great obedience to his father, Abram, by going on a three-day adventure with his dad that ended up with climbing up a mountain, all without a GPS, right? A little poetic license here. After the trip up the mountain, back in Bathsheba, can you imagine the family chat around the fire pit that night? Isaac, full of excitement, okay, says, Ma, you'll never guess what Dad and I did during these 3 days. We went for a long hike with two of our dudes and a donkey, climbed up this mountain with a lot of wood to make a fire to supposedly sacrifice a lamb. And then near the top, Dad made a fire, and then he tied me onto the top of it, wielding this huge knife. When this giant angel yelled, Abraham, stop, stop, stop. Phew. I'm fully persuaded that Sarah being Sarah crooked her little finger at her husband, Abraham, hissing, maybe, come into the tent. We need to chat now, okay? Note to parents, don't fight in front of your children. Little ones pick up an atmosphere so quickly. You see those little furtive little looks. Am I safe? Am I safe?
It's good.
Communication is a key to harmony in the home.
Yes.
Wise, timely communication. Hot tip. Especially in these interesting times, let's guard our hearts, girls. I know that's hard. Let's guard our hearts. We also need to firmly embrace a sense of humor. Mm-hmm. And we learn to respond instead of react. You know the fridge magnet. When mama ain't happy, no one ain't happy. But we all need a huge dollop of grace right now. And moms, we are the temperature in the home. Never ever discount that. Let's be grace extenders for those tender times, okay? I'm speaking to myself too now. Yes, we may well need a haircut and a pedicure, but let's play the Pollyanna glad game about how kind our Father in heaven is being to us right now. Even so, Sarah was, I'm sure, submitted to Abraham. She was a true helpmeet. She stuck with him through thick and thin and through sick and thin. Yes, they were very different in their times in those far-off days, and it's obvious that heirs were extremely important. Hence her leniency, say that, with Hagar. But we see her passion about Isaac's inheritance in Genesis 21:8-10. Isaac was her priority as a mom. Now, the fourth woman I want to talk about is Jochebed, Moses' mom. Exodus 1:22 says, "Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people. Every Hebrew boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live." Exodus 2:1-9 says, "Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him, picture it, and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the banks of the Nile." His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister, can you imagine how brave she was? Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went to get the baby's mother. Is that not supernatural divine favor? Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." So to me, Jochebed showed all her trust and put it all in Jesus' faithfulness, or God's faithfulness. She put her trust and her child in his care. Can you imagine the risk of doing that? When she placed little Moses in the Nile River that day, Jochebed could not have known that he would grow up to be one of God's greatest leaders, chosen to rescue the Hebrew people from slavery in Egypt. Okay, so by letting go and trusting God, Jochebed's implicit trust in God partnered with God to do the seemingly impossible to bring about God's plan. Like Jochebed, we won't always foresee God's purpose in letting go, but we can trust that his plan is even better.
That's good.
We learn trust from her story in every circumstance, and we see God's kindness in rewarding her after her sacrifice. There's a condition and a promise throughout the word, throughout scripture. "Trust me," God says, "and I will." Motherhood is a sacrifice. So let's use the position the Lord has given us wisely. We pray, we persevere, we exercise patience, we sacrifice, we endure, we trust God. And remember, God sees everything. We are not invisible. So Mark asked me what I was going to give to you ladies this Mother's Day. So obviously, no chocolates and roses yet, girls. I'll make up for that, okay? But this I have to leave with you. It's a greater gift, perhaps. It's just some excerpts from a lady by the name of Nicole Johnson, who actually spoke the invisible woman. Just captured my heart. She says, "I feel invisible. I felt invisible. I am invisible. Nobody sees me. My husband doesn't see me. I tell them to turn the TV down. They ignore me completely. Pick up your socks. What socks? They just walk past me like I'm not part of anything." And then a friend gave her a book of the great cathedrals of Europe. And she read this inscription: "With admiration for the greatness for what you are building when no one sees." Now, you can't name the names of the people who built the cathedrals. Because you can scroll down through every page and it'll say, "Builder unknown, builder unknown, builder unknown." But those builders completed things not knowing that anyone would ever notice. Just dedication, doing what they do. There was one story of a builder who was carving a tiny bird on a wooden panel that was ultimately going to be covered by a roof. And someone said to him, "Why are you doing that? No one will ever see it." He said, "Because God sees. God sees everything." Such mammoth works. They showed up, these builders, day after day after day. Some of these cathedrals took over 100 years to build, more than one man's lifetime. Their personal sacrifice for no credit. I hope you're getting the picture here, moms. God sees and says to you today, "You are not invisible to me. No sacrifice is too small for me to notice. I see every cupcake baked, every sequin sewn, and I smile over everyone." He says to you, moms, remember, you are building a great cathedral that will not be finished in your lifetime. You will never get to live there. But if you build it well, I will. Isn't that powerful? I should have Kleenex. Moms, seeming invisibility is not an affliction. If they don't see, it's okay. We don't work for them. We work for God. So today I give you virtually a great book from my heart to your heart. Gift wrapped and individually by the Holy Spirit given. A book of memories to page through. A book to remind you that you are not invisible to the one who sees all. A book with open, clean, yet unwritten upon pages for you to make all the mom memories still to come. A book from the one who loves us through it all and in it all. Have a wonderful, memorable Mother's Day. And my prayer for all of you is that the Lord's inscription for you will be this. "My daughter, with all my love, appreciation, and admiration for the greatness for what you are building and that I see." So let me pray for you, moms. Father, we are your daughters and you love us. We may not be perfect, Father, but what you see is our best. We try and we try and we know, Lord, that it could be better. But you say, "I love you girls. I love you moms." So I ask, Holy Spirit, that this morning that you would wrap your arms around the hearts of every woman listening to this. Whisper your love, your absolute passion for them into their hearts, Lord, so that they get the fact that they are your daughters, that we serve you all, Lord, from the position of being your daughter, as mothers, as girls who will be, no matter what, no matter where we are as your daughters. I pray, Father, that today that you honor and bless. And Lord, if there are any needs, any challenges, any frustrations, would you just blow them out of our lives, wipe them out today completely, that we just enter into a day filled with your love and your laughter and your joy and your peace in Jesus' name. Amen.